We're continuing this morning in our summer sermon series that I've titled Clear and Present Dangers. We've been looking at several dangers or threats to the church. In just a couple of weeks, we'll be back into our study of the book of Luke. And so we'll be going once again verse by verse through a passage of Scripture like we normally do on Sunday mornings. And so today and then next week, we'll be finishing up our summer sermon series. And we've been looking at various topics, not so much doing a passage of Scripture, but looking at topics that are threats to the church. And this morning, we will be talking about the threat of technology. We live in what has been called the information age or the digital age. With the introduction of the personal computers back in the 1970s and with subsequent improvements and innovations, we now have more access to more information through our digital devices than ever before. I guess I could ask for a raise of hands. How many of you have smartphones or computers or laptops? I would imagine that almost all of us have either something like that or have access to something like that. With the advent of the computer, the internet, and the smartphone, access to new forms of information, communication, commerce, and entertainment have grown immensely. Access to information, communication, commerce, and entertainment through digital devices has both blessings and cursings. There are pros and cons to almost all kinds of technology. Like never before, we have instant access to virtually all the information that we could imagine. Years ago, before the advent of the information that's available on the internet, if I needed to know something, I would generally have to find that information in a book. I have lots of books on my shelves that I have not accessed for years because now I don't need a dictionary anymore. I don't need an encyclopedia. Almost all the information that I need is available to me through a click of a mouse or the touch of a screen. And all of us have that same information capacity, or we can all find virtually the same kind of information that's out there on the internet. Now, that doesn't mean that all of it is correct. We have to be very careful about the kinds of things that we read out on the internet. But still, the information that's available to us is absolutely astounding, and it's increasing all the time. There's a rule about how often the amount of information available doubles, and it is increasing all the time. So we have access to things like information, of course, GPS, music, podcasts, videos. We have high-definition cameras. We can keep track of our friends and our contacts. Obviously, news and weather. We can use Skype, if you're familiar with that. We use that virtually every Sunday afternoon when my wife and kids communicate with my wife's family down in South Carolina. There are thousands of apps, as they say, on our phones and our tablets and our computers. So using all these things is a great benefit. It's a wonderful convenience to have access to all these things. We find these tools very helpful. How did we ever get along without computers, the internet, and smartphones? These technologies have so integrated into our lives that we can hardly imagine not having them. Many of the kids, as part of our church, and many of the children that we know, don't know what it was like before the computer or before the internet. Some don't even know what it was like before smartphones came on the scene. So they are natives, you might say, in this environment. Many of us grew into this environment. We knew what it was like before the early computers, and we started integrating those things into our lives, but many of the young people don't know what it's like not to have computers. So we can hardly imagine a world without them. At our house, we've recently had some trouble with our internet, and when you don't have internet and you're used to having it, it's kind of like, well, what do I do? How do I do my work? How do I find out the things that I want to find out? How do I communicate without the internet? You know, they do have these things called phones. Actually, at our house, we don't even have a landline type of phone. All we have is cell phones. So things have really changed over the years, and we come to depend on the technologies that we use. Well, technology is a very good thing. I enjoy staying connected with family members and friends and colleagues through the digital devices that I use. We can stay up to date with our missionaries. I have Bible study tools that are much more powerful than anything that ever came before them. So technology is a tool, and tools are good. Now, some of us have a real proclivity or a real interest in tools. We like having tools around for woodworking or metalworking or gardening or whatever, and we enjoy having tools. And really, technology is just another kind of a tool. But along with the benefits of technology are some serious threats. And that's what I want us to consider this morning, not only just the benefits of the technology, but also the threats that may be associated with it. That's what I want us to consider today, the spiritual threats associated with personal digital technology like phones, the internet, and computers. If we were to define technology, we could say that technology is a tool we can use to shape the world. A shovel is a technology. It may be somewhat primitive, but a shovel is a technology, as is a hammer, or a frying pan, or a television, or a laptop. Modern technology usually, of course, is electronic, but all of it is useful to change the world. A tool that we use to change our world, we might think of as technology, and all tools can be used for good or for ill. You can use that same shovel to dig up your garden or to plant a tree, and all of us are aware that you could use the shovel for many dangerous and evil purposes as well, and that's true of any kind of technology. The Bible expects us to use tools to change the world. God gave the first humans a commission, a mandate, to subdue the world and have dominion over it. As image bearers of God, we have the ability to invent tools and technologies to bring the world under our control. That's a biblical thing to do. Manipulating the world through tools is not a bad thing. It is really God's intent that we have dominion over the world or submit the world to our needs. Technologies and appliances bring us huge conveniences that former generations never even dreamt of. I mean, imagine the microwave oven. All of us take the microwave oven for granted, I suppose. How did they ever pop popcorn before the microwave oven? How did they ever warm up a bowl of soup or a cup of coffee? Well, all of us just take it for granted, but of course there was a time many years ago before the microwave oven. But now that is fully integrated into our lives for most of us. We don't even think about that, or the refrigerator, or the telephone, or so many technologies, electricity, electric lights, fans, air conditioning. We just use it without really thinking about it. And this morning I want us to think about for a while some of these technologies, particularly digital technologies that we use in personal ways, and some of the threats that may be involved with them. Just like every other good thing that God has provided, sinful man has corrupted and defiled what God originally intended for good. Digital technology is subject to a fallen, broken, perverted world. Sinful man inevitably employs good things for bad purposes. You can think of virtually any tool, any technology. It may be very helpful in certain ways, a great convenience, but of course you can use it in negative and sinful ways. Sinful man inevitably employs good things for bad purposes, and that's why technology is both a friend and potentially at least an enemy. Therefore, we should have a healthy and discerning suspicion about the things available to us through the use of technology. A little bit of a skepticism, a Christian skepticism that doesn't simply adopt everything that comes through technology. There are some people who think of themselves as early adopters. And whatever new technology comes along, they seek to integrate it into their lives. And that can be very helpful, but it can also be dangerous. It can also present a threat to us. So we should be asking ourselves, what will the use of this technology do to my life? If I do adopt this technology, what are the ramifications or the consequences of it? Could there be negative consequences of adopting a particular technology, especially digital technology that's connected to the internet? How will it affect my walk with God and my relationship with my family? Do I own it, or does it own me? Am I the one using it, or is it the thing using me? Because we can be so integrated with that technology that it begins affecting and really controlling our lives and our decisions. That's the danger of it. The use of a shovel or a microwave oven generally doesn't have many moral implications, but the use of modern digital technology, especially as it's hooked up to the internet, does have huge moral implications. So we have to be careful about our use of these technologies because it has the power to influence us far more than what we might realize. So this is an important topic because many of us use technological tools. Again, if I were to ask, I would guess that most of us use personal digital technology like smartphones and laptops and computers and tablets. We use these things. We are exposed to the various dangers that I'll be talking about. And the Bible addresses many of these issues. Obviously, it doesn't talk about the modern technology, but it does talk about the things associated with that technology. It talks about the principles that we need to keep in mind as we use the technology, the moral principles. So the values associated with these technologies we need to be very careful about. The main point that I want to make is that we have to be careful and wise in our use of technology. We need to do some serious reflection and consider the potential threats that technology might present to us. Let's look then at several potential threats that may come to us through technology. First of all, technology threatens to expose us to immorality. Probably the biggest threat that technology presents to us is that it can be used for immoral purposes. Technology provides a gateway into all manner of immorality. Thus, technology presents a wide array of temptations. Some of the first people to exploit a new technology are those who want to use it for bad purposes. There are plenty of evil people in the world who want to use good things for bad reasons. Whenever we turn on the technology, we are only a few steps away from the immorality that may be available through that technology. It's now easier than ever to access and engage in sin through digital devices. The temptation is ever present. The bait is always dangling in front of us, and we are tempted to make that click or push that button or touch that screen and access what is dangling there so attractively before us. These digital tools are with us almost constantly. Some of us are in front of screens for hours at a time, virtually every day. We're connected to the internet virtually all the time, and it's very easy. It's very convenient. They make it easy. They make it convenient to make those two or three clicks that will get you into a world of sin. We're surrounded by our spiritual enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and these enemies will use any method possible to get us into sin. You know, there's a verse that's kind of interesting in 2 Corinthians 2. It says, "We are not ignorant of Satan's devices." Now, when he uses the word devices, he means schemes or plans, not a device like a smartphone or a tablet or a computer. I'm sure that Paul had no idea of any of those digital devices, but it is kind of interesting that as we talk about the threats of digital devices, the Bible uses the word device to talk about a method or a scheme that Satan could use to trip us up or to tempt us into sin. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or destroy." So we recognize that through any kinds of means, Satan is always going to try to tempt us. He's always going to try to lead us astray or get us into sin. We should not be ignorant of his devices, his schemes, his methods, his plans to try to get us into sin. What are some examples of the kinds of immorality that we could be exposed to through digital technology? One of the major forms of temptation presented to us via the internet is pornography. And our society is becoming more and more tolerant of pornography. In fact, it is pushing people to get involved in that kind of a lifestyle. Statistics show us that over 50% of men aged 18 to 29 years of old access pornography regularly. 50%, half of all men 18 to 29 are accessing that kind of thing regularly. Simply viewing pornography is sinful and wicked, and prolonged viewing of pornography can ruin marriages, destroy intimacy, and obviously ruin your testimony. Remember what Jesus said? He said that looking at a woman to lust after her amounts to adultery. The Bible urges young men to think of young women as sisters and to treat them with all purity. It's impossible to be actively viewing pornography and to think of women purely. There's just no way to justify viewing pornography for a Christian. It is absolutely out of bounds. So we have to be very careful and establish boundaries to prevent ourselves from making those two or three clicks of a mouse that might lead to pornography. I think that is a major temptation, and I think we need to do everything that we can not to go down that road. Another one is illicit relationships. One of the great benefits of modern technology is that it helps us to develop and to retain the contacts and relationships that we have. Technology allows us to keep in touch with family and friends. We can develop new contacts. We can discuss issues over the internet. We can even proclaim the gospel over the internet. But these connections also present a risk. How many immoral relationships began with an innocent text message or a Facebook friend request? How many marriages have been ruined when a spouse reconnects with an old flame through social media? You know, the Bible repeatedly warns us to avoid the fool and the strange woman. And so we need to be very careful about our connections, the contacts that we have, even the friends that we might have through social media or through the internet, because that could be establishing an illicit or a sinful relationship. And likewise, there are bad people and bad ideas available. The internet is a gateway to a vast array of ideas and billions of people. Think about how many people are hooked up to the internet. I don't know what percentages is of the entire world population, but it's got to be, you know, 4 billion people, 5 billion people, something like that, have access to the internet. Imagine all those ideas that are swirling around, all the bad, anti-Christian, unbiblical, sinful ideas that are available through the internet. Through the internet, we have access to people and ideas that we could never imagine without the internet. The most outrageous, anti-Christian, destructive ideas are floating around, ready for some gullible person to pick them up. Exposure to these ideas and people change the way we think, the way we act, and the way we feel. I suppose that there are many people who are converted to Christianity through the internet. There are churches like ours who have the gospel on our website. There are many organizations whose sole purpose is to reach people through the internet. They have the gospel out there, and I don't know the statistics, but I imagine that there are many people who are converted to Christ through the internet. But on the other hand, there are many people who are, well, who become apostates from Christianity through the internet. They run into ideas, they run into people, they run into perhaps things that would challenge the Christian faith, and they become apostate, that is, they turn away from the Christian faith because of what they saw or read or heard on the internet. So we need to be very careful about the kinds of people and the kinds of ideas that we are accessing through that connection. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, the companion of fools will be destroyed. So if you're spending time with fools through an internet connection, you can expect to be destroyed, or in some sense, perhaps be chastised, or there may be some very negative responses, some very negative consequences for spending time with bad people and listening to bad ideas. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good morals. The psalm that I read a moment ago talked about, I do not spend time with wicked people. Psalm number 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. So we need to be very careful about the kinds of people that we're spending time with and the influence that those people have in our lives. Now, I believe that Christian ideas can certainly withstand evaluation and even criticism. If there are those on the internet who are putting forth ideas that would challenge Christianity, well, there are people who can answer those questions. The Bible has the answer to many questions that people might have. So I'm certainly not saying that we restrict all our interaction to only Christians. We never want to be challenged by non-Christian ideas. I'm not saying that. But we do need to be careful that it's not the gullible or the poorly educated or the immature who have access to these things, because they might find these anti-Christian ideas very attractive, and they may end up turning away from the Lord. And it's also particularly important to protect children from the bad people and immoral ideas easily available on the internet. There's a world of sin, you might say, just below the surface. And children, you know how inquisitive and curious they are. Children easily, if they're not controlled or restricted, children can easily get into just a world of sin, and we want to prevent that. Because of immoral content, We need to be vigilant and careful. And if you have given in to those temptations in the past, you know that that is a temptation for you. Perhaps you have given in to viewing pornography or trying to reconnect with an old flame or do something illicit through the internet. You know, the Lord promises forgiveness. There is redemption through Christ. The Bible tells us that we need to repent of our sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for forgiveness. If you're genuinely saved, you can find redemption and forgiveness from that. But Jesus tells us that we need to take radical steps to prevent ourselves from sinning. He says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. So there may need to be radical surgery in your life. If you are experiencing sin through these digital technologies, you need to take some radical steps to prevent that temptation and prevent yourself from going down that road into sin. It may mean trading in your smartphone for a dumb phone. You know, the old phones that weren't smart, they were just flip phones or the old-fashioned phones, maybe even just a landline. You know, if your phone is presenting that kind of a temptation, get rid of it. If it's your computer at home, you know, you can establish guidelines, you can have limits and filters and things like that. Put it in a public place. There's lots of things you can do if this temptation has gotten to you before. Well, one of the greatest threats to us through technology is ready access to immorality, to bad people and bad ideas. And so we have to, again, be very careful. And that's the note that I'm trying to ring this morning, is to be careful, to be intentional, to be discerning regarding these things. Secondly, technology threatens to change the way we think, act, and feel. We have to be careful and discerning about anything that has the influence or that amount of influence that could change the way we think, act, or feel. Anything that does that is very powerful, and we have to defend ourselves against the changes, any kind of changes in our way that we think, act, and feel that would bring us farther away from God. Digital technology is transformative, culturally and personally. It affects life at a deep level. It changes and influences everything around us. Imagine the smartphone. Those of you who have smartphones, my wife has one. I don't have one. If I want to use one, I use hers. But that's only been around, well, that's been around like 50 years, hasn't it? No. 2007 is the first really popular usable smartphone. That's only been, what, 11 years? So we adopt these things and we change our lives in response to that technology. Now, there's no problem in changing our lives in response to technology. Think of electricity when it first came available. Think of the car or the automobile. We change our lives in response to technology. That's not sinful, but we need to be careful. We need to be intentional. We need to be thoughtful about our use of these technologies and how we're going to change our life in response to them. For some, the first thing that they do in the morning is to check their phone or their laptop. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, news, sports, weather. The very first thing you do at the very beginning of the morning is to expose yourself to a torrent of information. Sometimes I think about it as trying to drink out of a fire hose. You know, the information is coming to us so rapidly and there's so much available. I have a little application called Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y, and it's an accumulator of news, primarily news, but also I have theology, I have a thing for the Packers, I have lots of different things, and it accumulates all these threads into one place. And I can go there and hit all, and it will give me a long, long, long list of all the news items that I might be interested in. Well, if you're a news hound or if you're interested in current events, you could sit there and read article after article after article after article, some of which are just, you know, current events, some of which are politics, some of which might be the Packers or whatever you're interested in. You know, so there's so much information available. And if you begin the day with information overload like that, well, it's no wonder that people have high blood pressure or can't sleep at night or are nervous all day long because they've loaded themselves down with all this information. The terrible things that are happening overseas and the political things that are happening, and you get all agitated and stirred up. Packers maybe losing or something, not that that would ever happen, but you begin the day with this information overload, and that obviously can be a real problem. Research shows that if you're online all the time, it changes the way you think and behave. Constant access to information via technology can make us nervous, hinder our memory, hamper our education, and reduce our ability to read and understand. Now, we should expect, I suppose, tools to change our lives. Again, technology is a tool. It does change our lives. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. These things often make life more convenient and pleasant. But we should remember to live, as the Bible says, circumspectly, and not allow the world to force us into its image or into its mold. Ephesians 5:15 says, walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise. So if we are using digital technology, let me just give you a few practical tips or principles. First of all, parents should be very careful about their kids accessing the internet. And so there should be controls, perhaps filters, on your internet access so the children don't accidentally stumble into something that you definitely don't want them to see. Secondly, be moderate, not obsessed with or addicted to technology. If you can't live without it, you're probably addicted or obsessed with it. Be modest in your postings to the internet. I'm really surprised sometimes how much personal information people put out there for everybody to view. Not only pictures of themselves, but information about what they like or dislike, where they've been shopping, what they've been doing, where they go from day to day, hour to hour. And I think, wow, that's a lot of information to be putting out there on the internet. So I think we need to be a little bit modest about that if you're going to post anything. Spend time with the Lord before other things. Protect your time with God. Don't allow your mind to be filled with distractions and cares and interests before focusing on God. And I've actually changed my morning routine a little bit in just the past several weeks, because what I found what I was doing is I'd wake up and do my sort of morning preparations and things, and then I'd go and look at news or weather or maybe a website or two or whatever. I would check out a few things, and then I'd do my devotions. But in fact, in the process of studying for this message, I really began to think, you know what I really need to do at the very beginning of the day is focus on the Lord and read the Word and spend time in prayer before looking at the news, before getting agitated about the latest political problems or the things that are happening overseas or sports or the weather or anything like that. I'm going to focus on the Lord, His Word, prayer as the first thing that I do. And that sort of centers me, then that gets me on the right footing, the right foundation, then I can handle the rest of the world, and it's only later that I might look at the news, the weather, the sports, and other things. So I think that's a good idea. Save the best part of your day, whatever that might be, if it's morning or if it's night or whenever you have your quiet time, save the best part of the day for the Lord. Do that first. For me, I have to do that early in the morning. That's the first thing that I want to consider as far as information intake is the Lord and His Word. You might want to turn off notifications. Notifications, if you have a smartphone or a computer, is when the little bing, the little ding, the little buzz, you get a new message from somebody, and then there's a notification sound usually or a flashing sign of some sort that you're supposed to pay attention to this new message. And so it's a good idea to turn those off, especially at night or when you're working. You might want to take time away from the phone during dinner, maybe on vacations, when you're having family time. Experts recommend limiting screen time for everyone, especially children. Limit the amount of time children are in front of a screen. And many today are warning us not to give smartphones to children. Now, I want to read kind of an extended quote here because I think it's really important. There may be some who just think, well, this is just a utility. It's just another tool, and I'm going to give my child a smartphone. But let me just read this, and I think you'll think better. Somebody, this is just an article that I found. The smartphone has given rise to cyberbullying and a spate of suicides, sexting, and sexual exploitation of teens by teens, and the nearly nonstop viewing and amateur production of pornography. Teenagers and children are pulled into social webs woven from Facebook to Instagram, from Snapchat to half a dozen other underground cyber settings, the interactions and content curated only by the children who populate them, free from parental or adult supervision. Children do not need nonstop access to social media sites that put them under the influence of their peers rather than adults. They should not have access to all the pornography the web can offer, vile material that is setting new sexual standards teenagers across North America and beyond are beginning to conform to through pressure, through force, or by choice. Porn companies are actively attempting to reach teenagers wherever they are to secure their customers when they are young and impressionable and easily hooked. They are using the very smartphones that parents buy for their children to do it. We were at the library the other day for a presentation on reptiles, and there are a bunch of little children there from kindergarten or daycare all the way up through teenagers. And there was a couple of little kids, maybe there's one girl in particular I noticed because she was right next to us, probably 11 or 12 years old, and she had a smartphone, and she knew how to use it. She was manipulating it as if she knew all about it. Well, of course, I don't know if that's hers necessarily. I don't know if that's her family's or her parents' perhaps. But she was using it like she knew what it was and how to operate it. And I thought to myself, that is really dangerous. Now, I don't know. Maybe they have limits and controls and filters on there. But having a little girl, 10 to 12 years old, with a smartphone available, potentially with the whole internet in front of her, I think that's highly dangerous. And so I know that sometimes parents want to give their children fun and good things and entertainment and things like that through the smartphone. But I would sincerely encourage you not to give children a smartphone, or at least to put some very restrictive filters on that thing so that they could maybe use it in the case of emergency, but not get on or have access to all the bad things that can come through technology. So technology can be a threat because it has the ability to change the way we think, act, and feel. Well, I have two more of these. Let me just try to summarize them as best as I can. I know the time is passing here. Technology threatens to distract us from things that are more important. One of the ways that technology can be a threat is that it distracts our attention. Distraction is perhaps one of the most significant problems that technology presents to us. As I mentioned, notifications. You know, you're right in the middle of a task, you're maybe working on something, when all of a sudden the phone goes off. You're trying to concentrate and you're distracted by some sound that you know is coming to you through the internet. So it can distract us in various ways. It can distract us from the Lord. We may easily focus on websites and videos to the extent that we neglect our daily devotions. I have time to watch, you know, the videos on the screen, and I sort of get drawn into some story or drawn into some video, and all of a sudden I look at my watch and time is gone and I don't have time for my devotions. Well, that can be very distracting from our obligation to the Lord. It can distract us from our families. Sometimes each individual has his own digital device, and so everybody's doing his own digital thing. They're all watching their own YouTube videos. They're all watching their own, or maybe their own Facebook pages or whatever. So all the members, they're maybe in the same house, but they're not eating together. They're not spending time together in recreation. Everybody's just sort of doing his own thing. And if that happens occasionally, you know, that's understandable. But if you don't even have family time together, you're not eating together, you're not taking recreational things together, but everybody's just on his own device, I think that that can be a problem. Studies have found that too much screen time can lead to vision and eye problems, mental health issues, physical health issues, learning problems, attention deficit issues, and even sleep disorders. So again, there are some real negatives that come through the use of technology. It can also distract us from our responsibilities. Studies have shown that the biggest distractors and wasters of time at work are cell phones, texting, web surfing, social media, email, and online shopping. Now, all that has been available only for the last, 15 to 20 years. How were people distracted from work before that? I suppose there were other things that were happening, but all these distractions are available through the internet and digital technology. Even when doing research on how people are distracted, you can be distracted by technology. As I was doing research for this message, I was lured into another article that I found very interesting. And so I can tell you with confidence that the Loctite PL375 construction adhesive was found to be the best among those that they checked that day. So I was very interested in, you know, construction adhesives, and that got me off track. So even when you're doing research on distraction, you can become distracted, as I was. It can also distract us from solitude and thoughtfulness. We need time by ourselves. We need time of solitude. We need time of quiet. We need to be able to hear the voice of our conscience. We need time to evaluate things. And if we take every spare moment to entertain ourselves, well, then I think we're losing that quiet, that solitude, that focus. The Bible, in fact, tells us to focus on the Lord. The Bible tells us to look unto Jesus. The Bible says that our affections ought to be put on the Lord and the things above. And so we need to be careful that we don't spend every single extra moment. You know, I've got 2 minutes until the next thing that I have to do, so let me check Facebook. I've got 1 moment while I'm sitting here doing nothing else. Let me check my email. There's a thing called the fear of missing out, FOMO. I might have missed out on something. I might have missed out on the latest news story. I wonder what the latest thing that happened in the Packers training camp was. You know, I wonder what the weather's going to be 10 minutes from now. It's easy to do that. And the mind, the human mind, can get used to that interaction. So instead of having times of just quiet contemplation, quiet maybe focusing on the Lord or just thinking about what we need to do, we're just entertaining ourselves. We're importing all this information all the time, and that can be a real problem. And then finally, technology threatens to make us superficial and shallow. You might think that ease of access to so much information would make us highly educated, but really it just makes us highly entertained, at least for most people, because what they usually use the information on the internet for is not, you know, academic study. It is just to entertain. It's to find the latest video. It's to find the latest, you know, cat or dog video or the funny thing that people did or the squirrel video or all the funny things that are available through the internet. That's what people are spending their time on. And that can kind of make people a little bit superficial and shallow. Even regarding the information that's on the internet, they skim the articles instead of reading them closely. Computer devices consume attention, time, money, and affections. They will constantly tell us what to think about. There are so many stories out there vying, calling for our attention. And so we need to be very careful. Studies have shown that the loneliest and most insecure people are those who spend the most time on social media. You may have thousands of friends online and still be lonely. Internet friendships typically lack depth and security. They're often very superficial. You don't really know these people, and you don't find deep relationships on the internet. Technology can also rob us of our humanity. We may be very willing to say things or type things into a chat or into an email message that we would never say face-to-face. The kinds of language that we would use, we would be oftentimes willing to type it into an email message or a Facebook message, but we wouldn't say something like that because it would be inhumane. And so people are downright brutal to each other over the internet these days. So if technology is making a superficial, shallow, or inhumane, it has become a problem. Let me just close then with just a few comments here. The big technology companies are not our friends, not the friends of Christianity or the church, at least. Almost all of them promote ungodliness and perversion. These huge companies have value systems that are directly contradictory to Christianity. And their goal is to influence us to adopt their value system. So we have to have our defenses up, and we have to be active. We have to be very conscious of what the technology is delivering to us, the kinds of values, the kinds of ideas that are coming to us. And that's called discernment. Discernment is the ability to evaluate good from bad, right from wrong, and make good choices based on the Word of God. It's easy to drop our discernment when seeking entertainment or when we're distracted by funny or interesting stories or videos on the screen. We drop our defenses, and then the marketers and social change agents deliver their messages. We become gullible. We become open, you might say, to the messages of these people when we're not paying attention. I'm not advocating that we withdraw from technology. I'm suggesting that we use these tools with discernment and with a healthy dose of Christian skepticism. Technology presents us with many options, some of them, unfortunately, being sinful. So we have to be careful and intentional as we consider the blessings and the curses of modern technology. Christians are supposed to do all things for the glory of God, and that would include every single mouse click. It should be done ultimately for the glory of God. We ought to be doing all things, the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, in the name of Christ. And so if you can't look at that video in the name of Christ, if you can't read that article, that it would be glorifying to God, you probably shouldn't do it. We can't just accept and adopt everything that becomes available. We have to be sober-minded and discerning, proving all things, and holding fast to that which is good. And let me finish then just with this very good quote. Only with our hope firmly fixed on Jesus Christ will we be able to use technology in a God-glorifying way. Only then will we ask critical questions of the tools we use and ensure that the value system embedded in those tools are not contradicting what the Bible calls us to value. Only then will we be free to use technology and not be enslaved by it. Well, let's close in prayer.